You rejuvenated a farm that was dying with 20-year-old trees that were almost dead, and you used biochar to bring them all back to life.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Nobody believed that. And they came to see, like many engineers in the coffee industry, they have come to see that because they can't believe. And so because of that happened, so I told my uncle, I am going to plant 3,500 trees by using only biochar, like only amended, only.
And, wow.
And you know what he said?
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 4 of a 5-part series with Angela, who is a Colombian coffee producer from Bodega de la Finca. And we are talking about biochar. And in the last episode, we were talking about how biochar works. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the many ways that biochar can solve problems for coffee producers specifically. And I just to be very clear, biochar is not something that's just for coffee producers. Biochar is this revolutionary carbon product that solves problems for agriculture across all sectors of agriculture. Correct, Angela?
Yeah, it can, like, you can grow onions with it. You can grow tomatoes with it. You can grow anything with it.
So what does it solve for coffee producers? Tell us what problems it solves.
So like in my farm, I begin to use it in cacao and we end up having a little bit more of the biochar. So in my farm, we were eliminating the coffee. Like I was this.
Because of the climate problem we spoke about in the first episode, right?
Climate, so the people told us your farm is only for cacao. Right now, if you grow coffee, this is not gonna work. And we had these old trees; they looked like a skeleton trees, and they were real. So we really weren't having coffee that much, like. I just had the farm with all these skeleton trees and in a cacao plantation. My dad did the last effort, but didn't work any well. So first we saved the cacao, and then I end up with a little bit of biochar. So I said, let's put it in the dead trees. You know, these skeleton trees.
And when you say put it in it, what do? You break it down and you put it in the soil.
In the plate, yeah, we used it, like we formulated it, and we placed it in the plate
around the roots.
Yeah, and I said maybe it's gonna work for next year when I have the money to plant the trees, because I didn't have money to plant the trees. So I was like, let's do this to get some soil back, to get life in the soil,
regenerate it.
Yeah. So at the week later. I work with an uncle. So this uncle called me. He said, Angela, you can't believe this. You can't believe this. Like he sent me pictures. We had the skeleton tree and there was this new tissue coming out. Like it was beginning to have like little tissues. So I said, let's prune that. Let's do it the big pruning that it's 30 centimeters from the ground, like you cut all that
stumping
material.
Yeah,
let's do that and see what happens. And I renovated the farm. 20-year-old trees.
You rejuvenated a farm that was dying with 20-year-old trees that were almost dead, and you used biochar to bring them all back to life.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Nobody believed that. And they came to see, like many engineers in the coffee industry, they have come to see that because they can't believe. And so because of that happened, so I told my uncle, I am going to plant 3,500 trees by using only biochar, like only amended, only.
And, wow.
And you know what he said? He was like almost in tears because he said, you know, my father used to grow coffee that way.
What?
And I said, what? And he's like, yes, that's why I've, he's 70 years old. And yeah. I was a corporate crazy woman in like a middle-aged crisis, telling like she was going to save the farm with this carbon. Like really, people thought I was crazy woman. Like really, they made fun and they said, now that you are working with carbon, bring the barbecue carbon and these things. Like, well, but my uncle always believed that because he himself remembered when he was young, his father used to do agriculture in that way. So I became so radical. That was 2022 when the prices went up and the fertilizer. And I said, I'm not going to risk buying this expensive fertilizer. I'm going to grow coffee out of carbon. And I did that. Like we formulated, we did it, and the coffee grew perfectly beautiful. We had so many challenges, other challenges that supposed to be, such as, for example, I had a nitrogen intoxication in the plants because there was too many nitrogen in that soil and the biochar got it out. And so I had to find and all crazy people like me.
So it was like an adaptogen? Have you heard of this? Go on.
The soil, I didn't put any fertilizer, but because in the past they put so many urea in it, the soil had too many nitrogen in the soil, but it was blocked. So when I plant the trees with the carbon, the microorganisms that were activated in the carbon,
right,
they mine more nitrogen than other minerals.
Right.
So we had this is very important because biochar can get you in the soil so many minerals that were there and you don't know they are. And so you become like a balancing, you know, when you were in school, you study chemistry and you have to balance the equation. That's how we have to do it when we use biochar. So we end up knowing, no, now it needs magnesium. So now we put magnesium. No, now it needs moldavin. So we put the moldavin. No, now it needs, potassium. So we put the potassium, but we don't put the NPK whole, like the thing they sell. We only use the
what's
mineral.
What's specific?
It's missing.
It's like when a human takes supplements, they're supplementing magnesium, they're supplementing for what they need rather than a multivitamin.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it this needs a special assistance, technical assistance, because many engineers, and I say it with a lot of respect, they didn't know what it was going on. So some of the plants were growing, and then they collapsed. Or some of them, they were growing weird. And I bring people, like, I pay, please come and let me know what is going on, what is going on. And nobody knew. Like, I have
who
no
solved
idea.
It?
And
who
professor?
Yeah.
That he was from a university. And he said, Angela, you can't tell anybody I'm here because I became like this I don't know, people, person nobody wants to get involved with, because I wasn't buying their fertilizing. So this was bad for the Federación. This was bad for the people in the business. So I was kind of like this black sheep nobody wants to involve with. So he came because he was fascinating. He wanted to learn so much. And he said, somebody that grows 3,000 trees of carbon, she's so crazy. But I believe if you don't risk anything, what are you going to get in life? Life is crazy. And so he came here.
Yeah.
And she helped me with that assistance.
And this is why this is so important, folks, when we talk about the position that this particular podcast holds in our industry, right? Angela struggled to get the story out about what she's doing because this clashes with corporate interests, what's happening here. What Angela's discovered leads to less fertilizer being sold. When a big problem that producers have is that they have to borrow money to pay for fertilizers, which feeds into this system of oppression that producers get buried under. Because if coffee isn't selling for the right price, when they want to harvest next year, in order for them to have a higher yield, they need more fertilizer and they need to borrow money for that to happen. This process reduces the burden of them having to borrow money because the carbon is what's feeding the soil.
Yeah, it gives freedom. It gives the soil the way to get this mineral. Like in the past, nobody says this, but from every fertilization, you lose more than 50%.
Mm.
It's lost. This, I don't say it. This, you can read it.
Right.
Whenever you apply that, there is some volatile elements and things that you lose it. With the biochar, you really get them. You really get them. So if you, for instance, if you don't have only money to buy one bag, you make out of that bag the double because you're not losing half.
Right. So can you take, if you want to create your own biochar, can you take the organic material off your farm and start creating your own biochar by just burning it and then just adding more? So you burn it, you let it go out, and then you burn more on top of it. You create that ring of fire that you were talking about.
You can do a ring of fire. You can do a tank called Biki. You can do, what I don't advise is to do it like an open burn,
mm-hmm.
because you can get a fire going.
Right, a wildfire will go.
A wildfire.
Right, so do it in a closed barrel or something like that.
You have to buy a barrel in it. So the farm has become like a school. And we teach this and we deliver the whole technology.
From Colombia?
Yeah, in my farm. They can come. I have workshops of people come and we teach them the whole thing. How do you do the biochar? How do you get a char? I think this is my call in life.
Your calling?
I feel this has so much impact. I have pictures. I get pictures. Like I tell this anytime they invite me, I go to these interviews. Then people see it and then they send me, Angela, look, this is my farm. And they send me their pictures. They are doing biochar. Anyone can do biochar.
Wow. So this is one of those situations where if coffee producers are trying to figure out how to survive, instead of just trying to increase the price of their coffee, they may be able to save on one of their most big expenses. You know, labor is a huge burden for producers, but fertilizer is another massive burden for producers. And so if they can eliminate the majority of that cost, that is a game changer for producers. I have a question.
Yeah, I'm a cost. Like I work in numbers.
Yep.
And so I'm going to tell you the cost.
Please.
Of growing a hectare of coffee. So, well, you have to pay the plant. Mm-hmm. Or if you do a seedling, you still have to pay the whole thing to plant. But the what you put in the hole, the complete hauling system mm-hmm. has a modification. You have to do it bigger more because you want really this root system
to embed.
To go down.
Yep.
So what you need, like in my farm, what we do is give value even to the grass.
Right.
Even grass, you can harvest grass and you can do these amendments you then put to the farm. So if, for example, if you're going to plant what we did, because there was too much biochar I needed to grow,
mm-hmm.
and I did on plots, so I did in one part, I put 250 grams. In the other one, I put 1 pound of mm-hmm. biochar.
Mm-hmm.
And if you multiply that by a hectare, this is insane amounts of biochar. So what I did was mix the biochar with the compost. We were already doing it. So when you grow coffee for if you're going to plant coffee, you need to put in the planting moment, you have to put a fertilizer in that's mm-hmm. that's expensive. So I took that out of my cost. So then I planted it, amended. You still have to pay the labor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't saving the labor. But what I found in the long term is that you have less reprocessing. So each time you plant a tree, you have to plant it again because it died, because the nutrients were not there and whatever. This is cost money to reprocess. It's cost. So I took that cost down. Then you have to put in a schedule, you have to, there are days you have to go and you have to still keep cutting, like doing the maintenance.
Yeah.
But the fertilizing completely, like the budget you're going to spend in the fertilizing, it went down more than, it's crazy.
More than 50%?
More than 50%.
More than 70%? Really?
Because then
more than 70%.
Like, for example, when I applied the magnesium, it was 8 grams. So I said, like, maybe I'm getting it wrong. I call back the engineer. How much magnesium do I have? 8 grams.
For how big a plot? For how big?
For each plant.
Wow.
8 grams is like see this famous guy that puts salt on it.
But salt bake. Wow.
So I was like, oh my God, what it teaches us, why do we have to spend so much money? Like normally you put 20 grams and now 8 grams.
The reason that they're not teaching you is because it's a part of an industrial complex, the agricultural industrial complex or the fertilizer industrial complex, right? The inputs that they're counting on the vertically integrated aspects of coffee production for you to enable big corporate. And that's the reason why people like the FNC are trying to silence you.
Yeah, they didn't help me at all. And like they said, I was crazy woman.
You're not.
But then at the year later, I had these nice big trees and like,
right.
So I began having these companies that want to see.
Exactly.
So I charged them.
Perfect.
To get them to see.
Perfect.
And I still show them this can be done because people are worried the coffee and cacao industry are going to be only available for these millionaire people. So expensive. It's gonna like in the future, if people keep losing money, nobody wants to grow anymore.
No, it's already happening, right?
Who's growing the coffee with the cacao right now? Corporate.
Right.
Companies are growing, not families. Nobody wants to be in a problem losing money.
Now, I have friends who have coffee farms all over India that are having challenges with water. And when you and I had a conversation yesterday, you were telling me how biochar can help people who are going through drought and have coffee farms. We're going to talk about that in the final episode of this series. I'm really sad that this series is ending. This is such a fantastic conversation. But join us for the next episode, folks, as we wrap up this series, and we're going to start that conversation talking about water and coffee. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.